Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some Mavs Jazz here, but I also want to talk about the Stars and their trip to Finland and how they've really secured the, Finnish talent exchange, if you want to describe it like that.
Explain that to me.
Okay, do you want me to start with that?
Nobody even knows where Finland is.
Okay, I mean, you might actually have a point about that. I guess if you put a map in front of everyone, it could be difficult, but give me cut number 10 for a blast from the past.
Jiri Lehtinen, the fifth Dallas shooter. No one has scored yet. Lehtinen, shot it, scores!
So, Jiri Lehtinen, he visited Dallas in March, put in a good word with the Stars front office about R2 Heiri, maybe Heiri if you're fancy, in Finland's top professional league. And he's been a big part of, because obviously he's Finnish as well, and he eventually signed a 2-year entry-level contract with the Stars. They have a handful of Finnish players that Lehtinen has helped out with. And so I think it's just cool because now they're in Finland. They're going to play, I believe it's the Panthers, Friday and Saturday. That game on Friday is during our show.
You know where Finland, you know what they're known for?
What's that? Finnish people.
The happiest country in the world.
Really?
Right now, the Stars are considered to be in the happiest country in the world.
So how do they come to that conclusion?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
They must have Disney Worlds everywhere.
They play at noon our time against the Panthers on Friday, and then 10 a.m. against the Panthers on Saturday. So I just think it's really cool that how a player from your past has kept that connection going and helped the Stars, like, I don't know if you want to say like a pipeline of players from there, but it is pretty cool that the Stars have picked up a whole bunch of like young Finnish players in part because of the recommendation of Jiri Lehtinen. And then you look at their team right now, Esa Lindell, Rope, and Amiro are all Finnish players and clearly big part of this team. Wow. Well, you can make an argument two of those players are two of your best five or six players.
Yeah, for sure. And it was like the Mavs at one point they're the Euro connection, right?
That's true.
And now we're the Finnish connection.
Yes. And look,
even though we're not a Finnish product.
Oh my God.
It costs 6.8% less to live in Finland than the United States.
So you're just doing a totally different thing.
I wasn't listening. I know.
Okay.
I didn't even know the Stars were in Finland. It's in Northern Europe.
Okay.
Next to the meatballs.
Near Sweden.
Huh? You got it.
Swedish meatballs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You ever been to IKEA, bro?
I have. Yeah. It's not immediately when somebody says it's the meatballs, I don't think Sweden.
Don't think Italy. I was there. They don't do meatballs.
Okay.
Yeah, they went to Italy. They couldn't find a meatball. They're called poplets over
faux
there.
Faux pas?
Uh-huh.
They're poplets. I don't know
why. So the Stars have had a Finnish player on their roster every year since 1993. And
they weren't even the Dallas Stars then.
I'm trying my best.
They get here in 93-94.
Wouldn't that count then? Since 1993?
Yeah, that would.
Okay, thank you. So from Lehtinen to Heiskanen to Hintz, that's all I wanted to tell you. The Stars are in Finland. They play the Panthers on Friday and Saturday.
This is breaking
news. It's really neat that they have this Finnish connection, and it's been going on for years and years and years.
Isn't that a gym?
And that is the fitness connection, I believe.
I like it. Hey, so when we moved from Minnesota to Dallas, the ownership and the general managers and stuff said we have to have a Finland on our team?
No, if that is how it went down, that we have to have, quote, a Finland.
Because Minnesota really screwed over the Finlands?
I don't believe that is the case. I think that is just a coincidence.
They speak Finnish there, but also English.
Okay, that is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Do you want to know about their summer times?
No, I don't. Let me guess. And the living's easy, right?
Well, it That's just a sublime says that song it's right around there, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, but especially in the southern and central parts of the country, it can get much warmer than that.
All right. Thank you very much, Professor Bassick, for your insights.
I didn't even know where Finland was. Like, this is what I learned today. When I go home and my parents ask me what I learned today at school or work, I'm going to say I learned where Finland is. And I learned that it's considered the happiest place in the world.
Does Mike Bassick Sr. every day, like, hey, Mike, what did you learn
it's
today?
It's mandatory.
Is it? Man, yeah. You're going to tell me you learned a lot about the court system today.
Oh, yeah, I have to go to court today. My kid. Way to go, kid.
All right. I'm going to give it a shot and transition.
Go. Let's go Mavs.
To Mavs.
Kevin, I appreciate.
We had Michael Finley.
Your efforts. Regarding the Stars.
Thank you. I really gave it a shot. I feel like I got shouted down pretty hard for this first half of the segment. So instead, let's go to cut number 8 and talk about the Mavericks.
And Kyrie, a little stop and go, move up the baseline. Dinwiddie, an exclamation point on what he's done in the third quarter.
All right. Now, you've talked about this a couple of times in crosstalk and throughout the day, how maybe this was not the most inspired Mavericks effort. I would argue, though, the bench play was...
It was nice.
...worlds better than you saw against the Suns. You only scored 9 bench points against the Suns.
Oh, then it was better.
Yesterday, 33.
Yeah, it just... I did not...
I'm not saying it was a great game across the board.
I was watching more baseball than basketball, but okay. I was flipping over there, and every time I watched, the Mavericks as a whole played like crap.
Okay.
Like, it was like... They were up by 2 or up by 4 and barely holding on. And then I would be like, all right, back to baseball. And then I'd turn it back 5 minutes later or something, and they'd be up by 10 or 12 points. And then the 2 minutes I watched, they'd get it back down to 4. It was just horrible basketball. But to your point, there were some guys that had some nice numbers.
I thought defensively they played better in spurts than they had.
They were playing the Jazz, too, which helped out.
Fair. I do not think the Jazz are a good team. I wanted to throw this out there in terms of the Mavericks. Let's say offensive struggles thus far. They've not been shooting the ball very well. They shot 45.
Luka only missed 17 yesterday.
Yeah, that was tough. The game before, fantastic. This game.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
A little tougher, but Jason Kidd threw out something that I thought made a lot of sense, and it gives me a lot of optimism. It's just been 3 games, but the Mavs have been getting a ton of open looks. And Jason Kidd said, look, we're not shooting the ball well right now, but we're getting wide open looks that just haven't gone down. It's early. If we get these shots all season, we believe that we're going to be one of the best offensive teams in the league. 3 games, small sample size. You get to see him play again tonight against the Timberwolves. But they have been getting a ton of open shots to start the season.
Yeah, I do like at times their movement off the ball. We saw this a little bit last year. I think we're seeing it a little bit more having Klay Thompson on the team. Last night, I remember at times going, Luka, like, nothing against you, man, but you stink tonight. And he still wanted to kind of one-on-one at times. And I get it because he's arguably the best in the game at it.
Sure.
But I do like at times how the Mavericks have, there's more movement off of the ball. And I don't know if it's just because Klay Thompson's on the team.
Yeah, that's a huge factor there. He's used to running.
If Jason Kidd is like, we have to have a little bit more movement. We do. The stand around game really works for Luka, but... And it works at times for Kyrie, but does it really work for us in general? And so, yeah, I'm with them. The thing is they can get some bad shots too based off. I feel like Luka's pushing the ball at times, but man, he can still get that shot clock down to a low point where you're a little bit stuck on what you're going to do in the end.
You're lucky you have a guy in Klay that can catch and shoot.
Man,
you know,
he can still do it.
Yeah.
I tweeted one thing last night And I just tweeted, he's still good at basketball.
He is.
Klay is still good.
Like, he's 45% from three right now.
Wow. And isn't that probably the most important, like, potential development? I know we still need to talk about Grimes and Marshall and how they're going to fit into the system and how they can play, but this feels like the thing that everyone was waiting to see, and thus far, hooray.
Even Devin Harris late in the game, he kind of had a mid-post fadeaway shot that went in, and Devin Harris, who played against Klay Thompson, who's been in the league for a lot of Klay Thompson's years, and he hasn't the last few years, is like, I don't remember him having that in his game, where he kind of had like a 15-foot kind of post situation where he just turns on a smaller guy and puts that ball in. So I've been really impressed. Offensively, it does look like you have a real third guy. And I hate doing this. I guess this is just who I am. I'm sorry. But when he's shooting the ball, I just feel 1,000 times better than when Tim Hardaway Jr. was doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that.
Absolutely. And I feel like when he needs one of the critical ones, he has the ability and knows how to make those too. Like, that's a big deal. And the movement part of it, you're right. That's been their offense for how many years now, where they were like, we're not moving. You go stand in a corner. When you have players that have the ability to do it, that have the ability to shoot from, like Klay can shoot from the corner, the top, he can shoot from anywhere.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot, because you can't just go be in one place defensively against them.
I did want to shout out Spencer Dinwiddie as well.
Very good job.
And all of that happened in the third quarter. He was awesome in the third quarter. He was scoreless in the first half, 11 points. In the third quarter alone. And you're going to need to win some of these games. You're going to need those scoring bursts from Dinwiddie or Washington, or like, not your most primary players that you're like, hey, I need you to just kind of like go off in this quarter or this game to go ahead and pick you up the win. I wanted to ask about one other side note. We've talked a lot about like things across the NBA, and y'all have talked about the potential of the Orlando Magic moving up in the world.
Get some Paolo, huh?
Man, last night, 50 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 blocks, and 3 three-pointers. Now, I know that's a very specific stat line, but he's the first player ever to hit that number with points, rebounds, assists, and blocks. But more importantly, he was close to a 50-point triple-double, and probably more importantly, it looks like he's ready to take that next step up that the team is going to need if they, as a team, are going to step up.
Yeah, that's a team I was really interested in coming into this year. And I do feel like that they have a good chance to be a top four team, win a round in the playoffs. And then you never know if the matchup is right. Like, I won't say now they're better than Milwaukee, because Milwaukee has experience on their side and Giannis has won a championship, this and that. But I think teams like that, I don't think Boston has to worry about Orlando yet.
I think that's fair. I think Boston a different level than everybody.
But I do think teams like Milwaukee that are Cleveland, I think Cleveland beat them last year in the playoffs, right?
I think
knocked
that is,
them out.
Yes.
It's like, I think those teams who have like looked at Orlando, it's like, yeah, they could every once in a while come up and make the playoffs, but we'll beat them. I think those teams are, it's only 4 games, but going, hey, this Orlando team might become a team we don't want to play in the playoffs.
And you're starting to see like all the draft picks they've made pay off, right? Like, obviously.
Takes time sometimes, right?
Yes. Obviously Paolo, but Wagner, Suggs, Anthony Black, even Wendell Carter, not for them, right, but he's found a role with the Magic where he can kind of be that old school power forward turn center that we were kind of wondering how much does that fit in the modern NBA. He seems to have found that role. So I think watching the Magic early this year has been super, super fun. And then one more thing I wanted to throw out there. The Ringer made a prediction that Luka will lead the league in points and assists. What do you think are the probabilities of that? And how long do you think it's been since that happened?
Points and assists?
And assists.
Crap, was it James Harden?
Way longer ago.
Oscar Robertson.
That is a great guess. It was actually Nate Archibald. I'm going to have to go look at these MVP votes, because he led the league in points with 34 and assists with 11.4 per game. And he finished third for MVP. Now, it is true, his team, Kansas City Omaha, was not very good. They were the Kings. The NBA used to be wild.
There's Omaha and... Hold on. I'm confused.
Yeah,
they were the Kansas City Omaha Kings.
They just represented... Why did it be the Kansas Kings? That sounds better too.
That's a good question. I'll
just
look into that.
I guess
I know.
It's Omaha, Nebraska.
Or maybe, well, it's Kansas City, Omaha. So would it be a street called Omaha?
I will
Kansas
let you guys
City?
Break that down in the break. Fine. Coming up next.
I don't think he's going to lead the league in assists.
Okay. But points?
I want him to.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. He takes 22 shots a game.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.